for many of you, this is going to be a highlight. It's already been a highlight. Ladies who know mathematics are scary creatures. I married one 36 years ago. She still won't let me forget. She got 98% of mathematics. I only got 97. Anna Rukmulerova and her father, Miloslav, are not scary people. They're artists. And they've given us some of the most beautiful eclipse photography that the world has ever seen. In fact, I'm not sure you could ever improve it. She has many qualifications, but I think for us here, the qualification is in her art. And it's a great deal of pleasure that I turn this microphone over to her to tell us a little bit about how she does it.
It's my pleasure to present here at Griffith Observatory some of the new image processing techniques in eclipse photography. All the image processing I would like to present here is done as the MMV project, mathematical methods of visualization of the solar corona. We run MMV archive, which can be seen at this website. The project was started in 2002, but its initial motivation originates in 1999 when we observed and took photographs of a total solar eclipse in Hungary. We have processed image sets from at least 15 total solar eclipses in more than 50 data sets, and all the image processing is done by software developed by ourselves. The number of 11 is just the number of the bigger programs, and there is another number of small one-purpose programs. The most recent task of the project is processing of archival images, or large format archival images, either on classical films or glass plates. For this purpose, we have bought high resolution, a large format scanner. And one of the examples of archival images on glass plates is this one taken by the expedition of Slovak Academy of Sciences in India in 1980. We will see the images later. The biggest problem of classical images is the noise in underexposed parts, additive noise. This can be partially removed by nonlinear pixel value transformation, which is the core of a program we developed for composing classical images. And this is the image of the total solar eclipse in 1980 in India, as taken by the Slovak Academy of Sciences, namely Vojtech Rušin, who will have his lecture in the afternoon. These images really prove that it makes sense to process images even tens of years old. And I've got here another sequence of archival images, and these are to show a breakdown of paradigm. The general truth of eclipse images is that it isn't possible to capture the whole corona visible through a lens in one single image. This is completely true for digital photography and for slides. However, However, in some cases, this is not true for large format negatives. All these three images you can see here are made from one frame. It is the most left one. And then we applied only a nonlinear pixel value transformation known as gamma correction. And all these images you see now are made from the first image. And after summing all these versions of the one frame and applying an image processing of the Corona software I would describe later, you obtain an image like this, which shows the structure in the Corona in the whole range of the image. And this is only from one image. And we had 10 of these images. These images were taken in 1991 in Baja California in Mexico by Ron Royer, who is also present at this conference. These are probably the best classical film images in the MMV archive. And the last image shows how high brightness ratio can be captured in one frame. Also, the corona and the beads were exposed in the same frame. A classical experiment performed during total solar eclipses is taking images of the corona using a polarizer. It is necessary to take several sets of at least three images with different or well-defined orientations of the polarizer and with the same exposure time. The classical result of this experiment is the one shown here. You use these images, we had four of them in this case, as measurements for the periodic L function, the intensity of light for each pixel, and the maximum of this function defines the color in the resulting image. This image clearly shows that the polarization of the corona is radially oriented. However, we can obtain another result from the same image set. We can take one grayscale image as the maximum of the L function for each pixel, another grayscale image as the minimum of the L function for each pixel, and give colors to these images. In this image, the orange image is the maximum image, and the blue one is the minimum. The image was calibrated so that the average color in the image is gray. This shows that the more active regions are also more polarized, and the polar regions are less polarized. And the brightness for the images were taken from the average brightness in the input images. Let us now approach digital photography. The biggest problem of digital photography is its dynamic range. If you want to capture the outer corona in the image, a large part of the image is totally overexposed, as you see in this lowest image. Then, if composing of classical images is something like making a sophisticated sum of them, composing of digital photographs is making a good mosaic of them. This is the core of the most complicated program in the MMV project. The program is driven by a special script which describes the position of the moon and the sun and other information for the image set, and also the names of all the images, the time and exposure time for them, and also other parameters which enable to create different resulting images from the same input data set. And as example, I've got here this image of the 2006 eclipse in Turkey. This is the second contact, this is the third contact, and the last image shows both contacts. It shows the whole corona and chromosphere that was visible for at least some time during the eclipse. The most critical step of image composing is the alignment. At the beginning of our program of the project, we used the classical method of aligning to well-defined structures such as prominences. But this can be used for digital images with a large overexposed part. If the images are not aligned properly, precisely, the resulting image is blurred, the faint structures are lost. Now we use a special program which is based on phase correlation. The formula you can see here is the basic formula for phase correlation. F denotes Fourier transform, A and B the images to be aligned. This is a very simple formula which works only for images with low noise, which are very similar. We developed a much complicated formula like this. This is only this is only for shifting images, for rotating and magnifying it is all even more complicated. Just to tell something about it, at the beginning we apply a high pass filter on the images, only a tangential high pass filter, and then we align these images, not the input images, but these images with the enhanced structures. And before the inverse Fourier transform, we apply a low pass filter to remove the artifacts of dust and so on. Another very serious problem of digital images is dust. From the mathematical point of view, dust on the chip is impulse noise. To remove impulse noise, you must first detect it and then correct it. The first step is the detection. You must mark each dust particle on the chip and then define also a neighborhood for calibrating two data sets. Our program for removing dust from the images needs two image sets taken at the same place with different cameras. The program takes patches from one set and inserts it to the other one. The result is an almost dust-free image. The most important and the historically oldest program of the MMV project is the Corona program. The first version of the program was created by myself as a high school project. The program is used for enhancing the very faint structures in the solar corona. After composing of the images, you obtain an image like this, you can see out of the rectangle. The image contains all the information about the corona, but the brightness range of the image is about 1-2 million. It can't be displayed by any display devices to show all these structures. We need to reduce the brightness ratio somehow, and we do it by reducing the low spatial frequencies and enhancing the high spatial frequencies, just to show very quickly how the program works. We have several masks and track bars which work in a similar way as sound equalizer. Let's start from higher spatial frequencies. The program enables to set the appropriate spatial frequency characteristic of the image. And the amplification of the structures is almost 400, as you can see at the top. Now I would like to say something about the shadow tracking expedition which we organized last year for the total solar eclipse in March. The large part of the totality belt went through land and countries with well weather prospects, so we decided to organize the shadow tracking expedition at the faculty where I study and my father works, Faculty of Mechanical Engineering, Brno University Technology. We have collected data from about 1 hour of totality, but already we have processed only about 25 minutes of that. We are still searching for more data if anyone has good images from places earlier than northern Libya and or later than central Turkey. Feel free to contact me and we will be very happy to enlarge our observation chain. These are only people who participated in the expedition before the eclipse, and some people also joined us afterwards. I can't have omitted this photograph of the core of the expedition before departing to the observation places with the dean of the Faculty of Mechanical Engineering, Miroslav Doupovec. And now I would like to show you the changes in the solar corona during the time between Libyan desert, northern Libyan desert, and central Turkey. The picture from Libya was taken by my father and Petr Aniel, and the image from Turkey was taken by myself. You can focus on any part of the corona, and you will find some changes there. Also, some places in the corona are very, very stable. Note this coronal ray, which looks like as it is escaping from the sun very quickly in the time between. The Turkish image for this animation was taken by Jan Rohac, who was at the same observing place as I was. the best equipped observing place of the shadow tracking expedition was in northern Libyan desert, operated by my father Miloslav Druckmiller and Peter Aniol from Germany. They had six digital cameras, Canon 5D, operated by laptops, with lenses with focal lengths from 200 millimeters up to 1.6 meter, and also some classical cameras. And they obtained more than 600 images during the 4 minutes of totality. And these images enabled to create this zoom animation I would like to show you now. The wide angle image of the corona contains about 220 stars. Natural question to answer. What color is the solar corona? The natural answer would be white or bluish. The blue color is caused by the blue color of the Earth atmosphere, caused by Rayleigh scattering of the light coming from the sun in the Earth atmosphere. So this is not the color of the photosphere. So the resulting answer would be white. But the white color is the white light of the photosphere scattered in the corona by the particles in the corona. Maybe the white also wouldn't be the best answer. I've got some colors which also appear in the corona. The most prominent of them is the green corona line of iron 14, and the second most prominent is the red line of iron 10. Let's try to find these colors in the image. Take an image like this. Subtract the blue color from the image. Then try to enhance the colors of the corona by increasing the color saturation. This is the result. These images are completely new. They were made about a month ago, and we haven't presented them yet. It clearly shows that the green color, the green corner light line, is especially in the innermost corona, which is also hotter. It corresponds in with the numbers we had there. Let's have also some looks in details. Also, we didn't enhance the color of the prominences. They don't need that. It is not the color of the corona. It is the color of the prominences. If there are also other colors in the images, the color may be caused by the mixture of these colors and also by other contour lines. This small red structure is not a structure in the corona, it is a reflex of the prominence. The images also clearly show that the corona is colder in the polar regions. The red corona line is more in the innermost corona in the polar regions than in the active regions. Total solar eclipse is a splendorous phenomenon, but it has also a very high scientific value. And this image is just to show that it that the observing from the Earth makes sense. The spatial resolution of the corona image taken during the eclipse is about 1 arc second, and is at least as good as the image taken by SOHO EIT telescope. This is the end of my lecture, but I'm sure that this isn't the end of using mathematical methods in solar corona image processing. I hope this is only the beginning, and I'm very, very glad that I'm one of the people who develop and implement these mathematical methods. Thank you for attention.
My wife wanted to say that your photography and father's work is the only picture she's ever seen that showed her the corona the way she saw it visually. Any questions? I told you that it was dangerous to have a mathematician here, and I've gone over time, but I'll entertain two questions as long as they don't involve long, complex mathematical discussion.
How about a short mathematical discussion? The images are spectacular, but in closing, you were saying that the spatial resolution is now about 1 arc second, so I'm guessing that's seeing limited. Could you apply like an adaptive kernel deconvolution or MEM deconvolution to actually improve on that spatial resolution?
The deconvolution was applied. The corona software is based on filters on based on deconvolution. So I don't think that it would be possible to have resolution higher than the native resolution of the camera, which is in this image. Maybe to use even longer focal length of the lenses then. Sure.
One more.
I noticed that it's popular these days to bring out the details of the corona by these enhancing the high frequency components. But when I saw this eclipse, I did not see those kind of things. Maybe my eyesight is not as good as some of the people here.
The image is actually better than you can see through just through a telescope with a naked eye.
So my point is that maybe we are over enhancing it, and that I know there is a certain artistic quality to it, and you want to see some fine features for scientific merit, but there's a balance there between what you try to reproduce, what you actually see, and overdoing it a little bit, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, we are trying to find as much structures as we can, and I don't think it is any bad to have images which show more than we can see.
I'm sure that Hannah will have very many questions to answer.
Yeah, well, I think it's a little bit unfair not to talk about the radial gradient. You didn't mention in your talk that you are removing the radial gradients, and Zoran is impressed by the fact that this doesn't reflect what you see in the during an eclipse. You are removing the gravity. What you are doing there, it's like the sun doesn't have gravity, you know. So you have to be careful. In your talk, you should mention that the first thing you are doing is to remove the radial gradient. You didn't mention once.
Trying to reduce the brightness ratio, which is reducing, which is exactly what you said. But a human eye is not an instrument to measure the intensity of light. It can just compare two places and say, yes, this is more bright than this, and these places should be very close to each other. I think that it does not make much sense to show just the brightness of the corona, because no display device can show this. It is better to show the structures, I think.
Serge, I would love to sit in the room with you and Hannah when you discuss these things. I believe we'll have to go on now. Thank you, Hannah.